Turn now, please, to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 13 for our meditation. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, where again we'll read a brief section of the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 13. Beginning at verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Now watch his answer. See if you get the answer to the question. He said to them, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, 'Sir, open the door for us.' But he will answer, 'I don't know you or where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' But he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers.' There will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last." Now, you may be certain that our Lord Jesus Christ was asked many questions as he traveled about the cities of Palestine in his earthly ministry. But here was a question. The question in verse 23, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" This was a question that Jesus thought deserved an answer. Not just an answer, but an extended answer. It was important enough, it was worthy of serious treatment. And so, for some time in the text, we see our Lord Jesus Christ expounding an answer to that question. "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" Saved from sin and the consequences of sin. Are there only a few people who are going to be delivered from the guilt of sin with a full and free pardon? Are only a few going to be delivered from the anger of God and the wrath of God against sin? Are only a few going to be delivered from the curse of God against man's body and his soul because of sin? Are only a few going to be saved from death and from hell? And yet it's very interesting that our wise Lord did not directly answer with a yes or a no. Yes, there will only be few. No, there will not only be few saved. Because the question was not well formed. It addressed a very important subject, but it was not formed in the best way. Often there's curiosity mixed with our questions. Curiosity that's not very profitable. If he had said yes or no more directly, then people would probably attempt to ask another question as to just how great the proportions were of those who were saved and those who were lost. Our Lord Jesus used the occasion to give a personal application of this matter. As you see him saying in verse 24, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door." You make every effort to enter. Whether you ever get the answer to the question whether there are many or few who are saved, you make every effort to enter through the door. Now we're going to notice first from our Lord's answer what the situation is regarding salvation. What is the situation regarding salvation? Well, the first thing to be noted is that there is a way to salvation. There is an opening. There is a door that is presently opened. That if a man passes through it, he will be saved. For our Lord talks about a door. which is open. Our Lord uses picturesque language as usual, and the whole description of the situation of salvation visualizes a nighttime feast in a house in Palestine. There's one entrance to the house, and inside there's a very pleasant feast where the head of the house, the owner of the house, the Lord of the house is seated. And it's nighttime, and inside there's much light and pleasantness and a feast and gaiety. And outside, there's darkness. And there are some people inside, and there are some people outside. But there is an open door. There is a doorway presently open. And if a man passes through it, he will be saved. He will be able to participate in the feast of the forgiveness of sins. He will be able to feast himself upon eternal life. He will be able to enjoy the communion of God Himself. He will be able to enjoy the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. He will be able to know what it is to have his soul perfected in the likeness of Christ and live in a world where there is no sin forever and forever. There is a door open. Thank God there's a door. And thank God it is presently open. There is a door. Make every effort to enter through the door. But notice, if you will, in verse 24, it's a narrow door. It's a narrow door. When there is a door, it's usually narrow in comparison to the wall or the fence which keeps people out. The door is meant to allow some to get in and to close others out, whereas it is narrow in comparison to the fence that goes all around the pasture or the walls that go all around the house. It is a narrow door. You may be admitted to the saving grace of God and the mercies and the blessings that are to be had in salvation only at one point. Only one point in all the world. There's no question where the door is. We read in our scripture reading earlier these words, John 10:9, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Jesus said, I am the door. I am the doorway. In John 14:6, he put it this way, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father. No one enters the house of salvation but through me, but by me. No other religion will bring salvation. No other priest. No other authority. No other teacher. There is one door into the way of salvation, and it is Jesus Christ Himself. Men must enter by Him. And so when our Lord Jesus Christ says, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, He is the narrow door. Enter through Him. Make every effort to enter through Him. A narrow door also suggests that you cannot drive through it with all of the baggage that you might want to take along. It's a door. It's a door. And you can't drive through with all of the baggage you might want to take. Especially verse 27, wickedness is excluded. It's interesting in these verses, verses 25 and 27, I don't know where you came from. The hint again that He is the door, that the key to salvation is knowing Him. Knowing Him who is the master of the house. Personal acquaintance with Him to be admitted. But away from me, you who are evildoers, you cannot enter the narrow door carrying the sins of this world, the pleasures that are forbidden by the law of God. You cannot enter with a lifestyle of wickedness. There has to be repentance. You have to squeeze through the door, leaving behind certain things. It's an open door. It's a narrow door. It's only a temporarily open door. The hour is coming, we're told by our Lord Jesus Christ, that the master of the feast, the Lord of the house himself, will rise from the table and will shut the door. And there will be no more entrance into the feast. Certainly he is speaking about his second coming, when the Lord Jesus Christ will arise to be a judge and not to be a merciful entertainer any longer of those who enter through the door, through himself. Then there will be no more admissions. Of course, you know from other parables of Jesus Christ that the door can close for individuals before the door forever closes to the human race. You know the parable, for instance, of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man who did not find forgiveness of his sins while he lived. When he died, the door was closed for him, and he was told the gulf is forever fixed at death. The door can close at death for an individual. The door will close for the human race when Jesus comes again. And the interesting thing from what our Lord Jesus Christ says, verse 25, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, there will be people standing outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." You will stand outside with this kind of pleading, he says to some of them who are hearing him. They will fervently believe the gospel when the door is shut. The sad thing about the rich man who died and went to hell is that in hell he believed the gospel with all of his heart, and he cried for mercy from the depth of his soul and with sincere desire. But the gulf was forever fixed. And here is the picture of the door being shut and people outside now believing in the way of salvation and wanting the salvation that is to be had. But the door is shut, and they are outside. And apparently there will be many. Are there few saved? Are there few saved? Well, there are many left outside when the door is shut, and any is too many. There is a way of salvation. Will you notice how close some men get without entering in? Again, look at the exchange in verses 25 to 27. They plead to get in. He says, "I don't know you or where you come from." But they say in verse 26, "Look, we ate with you, we drank with you, we were acquainted with you, we knew you. And you taught in our streets. We heard all of the things that you said, Jesus, the door, the master of the house. We knew all about the gospel. We used to walk with you and talk with you. We were present when you were there. You know us, don't you?" Those who were excluded knew all about Christ and about His gospel. They were very familiar with His person and His teaching. But there was not ever any coming to Him with a heart for salvation. There was never a wholehearted commitment to Him, to walk with Him and to serve Him and to be His. No trusting in Him, no bowing to Him. How many there are who are content to be near Christian people and the Christian message and to be acquainted with what Jesus taught without ever doing anything about it? Make every effort to enter. Many people are going to be very close, and perhaps the most miserable of all are those who know so much about Christ but never entered. Will you notice also the eternal tragedy that awaits those who do not enter through Christ? You know, people trifle about prophecy. They want to know what's the order of events. This is going to happen, then this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. Here's prophecy. Here's prediction. Perhaps the most profound prophecy of the Bible. When the gate of salvation is closed and forever locked, there are going to be those still outside when it is too late to be saved who will see and understand what they have missed. They will see and they will understand what they have missed. Far off from themselves, they will see a company of delightful saints. Do you see how that's described? In verse 28, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are going to be at the feast. The patriarchs are there. And the prophets, it mentions in verse 28, Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, at the feast. We could add others too, couldn't we? The apostles, Peter, John, Paul, the brave warriors through the ages, Augustine, Chrysostom, Anselm, Luther, Knox, Whitfield, you can add to the list. Many that you've heard of in history past of the church will be gathered in a happy fellowship, but those terrible words in verse 28, yourselves excluded, thrown out. Verse 29 indicates that those who gather at the feast will be a large and varied company because they're coming from the east and the west and the north and the south. Lord, are only a few going to be saved? What is his answer? Many are going to be outside looking in when the door is forever locked, but many are going to be in from the north and the south and the east and the west, from every nation on the earth, from every race of people, from every language. From all over the earth, they're going to gather there at the table, but you yourselves excluded, shut out. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door. One of the other very interesting things that must aggravate those, we're speaking future in hell, who are forever there, once the door is shut. One of the things that must aggravate terribly is verse 30. Indeed, there are those who are last who will be first. The very people that you never thought would get into the kingdom of God are not only in at the feast, but at the first place in the kingdom, at the places of honor, at the places of chief delight, some of the last people you would ever expect to get in, but you yourselves excluded. Now that must be greatly aggravating. Men from the lowest ranks, the chief of sinners, will be there. And they will see what a blessed and happy and glorious prospect belongs to those who are in. It's a kingdom vast and beautiful with a glorious King, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a feast of rich blessings, all that the heart could wish and more beside, satisfying. Delightful fellowship round the table. Food for the soul and for the body. Entertainment. The showering of true riches upon all. It's a feast. Those who are shut out at the last will be conscious of the blessings that they have missed. And they will see it afar off. The text indicates that they will keenly feel their own misery. Verse 28, you yourselves thrown out, violently rejected. Is there anything more painful than to be aware of the fact that people reject you, want nothing to do with you, put you away? The suggestion that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is so tender and compassionate and kind to all sinners who enter through the door, will one day say, I don't know you. Away from me. Excluded from the company of the redeemed. Rejected from the citizenship of the kingdom. Left out. There are some who are not converted, who have heard the gospel and know the way of Jesus Christ, who this day are not converted for one reason, and that is that the devil has whispered in your ear, if you turn to Jesus Christ, you're going to miss something. you're going to miss being with that crowd of people that is most accepted in the world. You're going to miss some of the pleasures that are to be had in my dark kingdom. Young man, young woman, why don't you wait a while and enjoy the things that are to be had under the dominion of Satan? The real leaving out comes at the end for those who do not enter the door while there is time. The misery is described in verse 28 as weeping. Inconsolable, never-ending wretchedness expressed in tears. They will not be comforted. Grinding of teeth. Bitterness. Anger against God. A hatred of the realities which they experience. Dissatisfaction and misery. And hopelessness because the opportunity is gone. For whatever reason, sinned away. They will torture themselves with lament because of the opportunity. They will see the door that once was open but now is closed. These are the facts with regard to salvation. Now do you see why our Lord Jesus Christ directed attention away from the question, are there many or few that be saved? Well, how do you look at it? There are many who are going to be outside at the end. But there are many from all over the world who are going to be inside at the feast at the end. Many? Few? Is your only question, well, which is going to be more? Are there going to be a couple more in heaven or a couple more outside? Does it really matter? Useless speculation. Foolish heart. Make every effort to enter in through the door while it is open, the narrow door, while you have opportunity. Not only does our wise Lord put a personal twist on the answer to the question, but will you notice in the text the mercy of Christ? The mercy of Jesus Christ to urge you to enter the door of salvation. It's the view of eternal realities that led him to plead. And this is pleading. This is pleading from the lips of Christ, who one day will be the head of the feast who closes the door. Who pleads. What does he have to gain through it? Oh, make every effort to enter through the narrow door. He is the door, he is the master of the house, he is the king of the kingdom, and he invites you to enter. He seeks to persuade you to enter. He pleads with you to enter. He reminds you of the necessity to enter. Do you know what he paid that you might enter? Were he not to have humbled himself and come down into this world from heaven to walk in a sin-cursed earth, there would be no door. There would be no one to have told us how to enter the door. And had he not, as even a man, humbled himself to death, that terrible, torturous death of the cross, there would be no door. What he paid to present the door before you, and to plead with you to enter through the door. Being close to the kingdom is not enough. Being around other people who are Christians is not enough. Pass through the doorway. Make every effort to enter through the door. Our Lord calls for a decision. He calls for action. There is something that a sinner must do. He must enter through the door. It will cost him something. It will take some energy. It will take some effort. Make every effort to enter through the door. In one sense, it doesn't matter whether there are many or few saved. It is vital that you be saved.
And if all the rest of the world goes to hell, see that you enter through the door. Knowing that some are going to be left outside, make every effort that you enter through the door.
However trifling and unconcerned the rest of the world, do not follow a multitude to do evil, especially in the destruction of your own soul. Take decided steps. That's what Jesus says. Enter through the door. Make effort to enter through the door. Take a decided step. Agonize. Wrestle to enter through the door. What does a man have to do to enter through the door? We've already suggested some things. He has to turn his back on the life of sin. The world's wealth, the world's pleasures, the world's rank, selfishness, the feeding of lusts. And turn your face toward the door, which leads to life. It will be a life of praying, of believing, of holy living, of taking up a cross, of following Jesus Christ so long as you live, of being the kind of person that many in the world do despise and ridicule. Exertion to enter in. You must do it. You must decide to turn your back, to set your face, to go in the direction, to enter through the door. Seek the Lord while He may be found, says one of the prophets. Call upon Him while He is near. How do you do it? Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, but let him turn to the Lord with his heart, with full purpose of and endeavor after to live for God and to live with God. What do we mean? Turn to Christ. Go through the door. What do we mean? With fixed resolve to go to Christ, who is a person, that through Him you might enter into eternal life and salvation. Now, how do you go to Christ? Well, He is the Son of God at God's right hand, and there is only one way to go to Him. He is the door. Not a priest, not a church, not a man other than Christ. And how does one go to Christ? He is at the Father's right hand, and the only way to go to Him is by prayer. By prayer. He is in heaven. He's not here on earth. There's no way to get to Him with your body. You must go to Him in prayer. And what is prayer? Prayer is the pouring out of the desires of your heart to God in heaven, to the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. The eloquence of prayer is in the desire of the heart and not in the words that are appropriately spoken so that they sound good on the ears of men. When Christ examines the prayers of men, He looks at the desires of their heart. Whether they come to Him and cry that they might be saved, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Maybe you can't even say it that well. But if that's the substance of the desire of the heart offered up to Him, that is coming and entering through the door. He's on the throne. He's the Lord of the house. He's the master of the feast. How does one pray to Him? One prays to Him by bowing and asking to enter. Look at verse 25. How does one go to the Lord of the house? Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us!" There's nothing wrong with the prayer. The words of the prayer are absolutely appropriate. They're the very words, the very prayer that is to be prayed if a man is to be saved. The problem with this prayer in verse 25 is that it is untimely. It was offered too late. The right prayer, too late. Nothing wrong with the prayer. How do you pray? Use these words. Knock. What is a knock? I think Bunyan knew what a knock was. In Pilgrim's Progress, the second part, when Mercy came to the door, she was so weak and she was so fainting that she could barely bring herself to tap on the door with her knuckles. From the outside of the door, it seemed like there was so little she could do. She was so faint of heart. But inside, the Lord was startled by the sound of her knocking. Meek Mercy coming to the door. Why? Because the desire of her heart was so great. The desire of her heart was so great. That is the knocking, with the desire of the heart knocking. Sir, open to us the door of salvation for us. That's the prayer. And now is the accepted time to knock. Then there will be a time when men will pray the very prayers by which others were saved. And they will not enter in, but will stay outside. Do you see the disaster of that? Make every effort now to enter in by the door. Take steps to renounce the old life of sin and pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Commit yourself to Jesus Christ. Plead with Him to admit you to salvation. Is Jesus Christ at all reluctant to have you approach Him? What did Jesus Christ do when it was like banging on the door for mercy? Remember what Christian's wife said, Christiana? She said, "Methinks the Lord smiled." Can the Lord Jesus Christ urge you, make every effort to enter through the door, and then frown when you knock at the door to enter the salvation that He offers? He urges you to enter. He hangs the welcome sign out now. When the store owner has an open sign in the window, is he glad for you to come in? If you think, well, someday he's going to put a closed sign on the door, does that mean that he doesn't want me in now? Well, he does want me in now for my business, whatever. When Jesus Christ says, enter through the door, just because someday he will say the door is closed, does not mean that he is reluctant to have men come to him. He's promised, all that the Father has given me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can get through the door now. Resolve to enter the door. Get up and do it. Enter the door. Call upon the Lord. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord in prayer will be saved. How do you call upon the name of the Lord? You can do it right there, silently, where you're sitting. You can do it in your bedroom, on your knees. You can do it walking through the woods. You can do it riding down the street. Call from your heart upon the name of the Lord to be saved. How many times will you sit through gospel messages and not enter? Are you consigning yourself to the many who will stand outside when the door is shut? And then we'll pray. Oh, I tell you, every man will one day pray that he might enter that kingdom. He will cry for mercy. Every man will. The people who mock the idea of the gospel will one day be crying loudly for mercy. Why cannot men do it when it is time? Christ came to rescue the perishing. He is a beautiful door. Everything about the door is attractive and lovely and pleasant, and those who have entered in will bear witness that it was not like some of those initiations where you get paddled on the way in. It is pleasant and blessed and enjoyable throughout to enter in. hearing the message will do you no good. There must be an entering in. You must resolve. You must decide. You must go to Christ. You must call upon His name. Yield up your heart to Him and your life to Him and commit yourself to be His. Confess Him openly in baptism. Is this difficult? There's not much to it. It's only difficult because of the obstinacy of your heart. And because of the sin within your heart that is afraid that you may miss something in this world. You only have a few years to hold on to it. They're fading pleasures. Will you hold them to be in that large number outside the door at the end? Make every effort to enter through the door. Let's bow together in prayer. O Lord our God, we thank You and praise You for the Spirit that by the Word overcame our every hesitation to enter through the door, those of us who have entered. Thank You for the Spirit that moved us to call upon You. Spirit of God, operate upon those hearts that are here that have not yet gone through the door, and may they this day enter and make every effort to enter. Our Lord has spoken plainly concerning eternal issues. Oh, may they be impressed upon hearts by Your gracious Spirit to the saving of those who are present. And may they not think that there is much time to put off the decision. We pray through Christ our Savior. Amen.